Radio Row.
Welcome to the drive.
Dan Quinn in year two has taken Atlanta to the Super Bowl.
This is the drive with Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear. Live from Radio Row at Super Bowl 51, Houston, Texas.
The New England Patriots will play one more game.
Extra motivation for you this year.
Nah, this is my motivation right here. All these fellas right here.
Presented by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered.
We've got you covered.
You know I'm getting the ball. They know I'm getting the ball tonight, too.
And Super Bowl 51. Sports 1140 KHCK.
Oh, I'll get the ball. I'm going to get the ball tonight.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Super Bowl 51. The George R. Brown Convention Center, Houston, Texas.
Ain't too much talking to be going on tonight. All about hitting.
The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
And we are live, Radio Row, Houston, Texas, Super Bowl. I keep calling it Super Bowl Lee. These Roman numerals are killing me. It's Super Bowl 51, Dave, Katie, and Nate. And look who's sitting next to us. We talk to him every week, and now it's in person. It's Mike Florio.
You say, look, is there a camera that I don't know about?
Yes, we're secretly filming you.
You look with your ears, I guess.
Every once in a while, though, they have a setup that I'm not aware, and I pick my nose.
Yeah, then it's caught. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Appreciate you all year long coming on with us.
Yeah, good to be with you in person. Glad you made it. Not all of my radio partners have decided to make it. I was just giving Paul Allen of KFAN a hard time because he never comes to the Super Bowl. He's the voice of the Vikings.
Yeah.
He says if the Vikings make it, that's when he'll come. So basically, he's never going to come.
Missing out. I see his proof, actually. Now you see my tab up right there. Look at that. Pro Football Talk, as I always do.
Yes.
And we were talking about this earlier. In fact, we almost let us, I think it was our second segment today. You think of Barstool Sports getting pulled, their credentials.
Look, it's so short-sighted by the NFL to pick a fight with a publication that is now mainstream. They have a show on Comedy Central, which is tied in with CBS, I think. Yeah. So there's a connection there. Just because a few years ago a guy does a stunt where he goes and sits in the league office, created a disturbance. They sat in the floor. It's not like they firebombed the place.
It's a peaceful protest.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it only adds to the renegade perception of the site. And it's just stupid. We had the two guys who do the Part of My Take podcast, Dan Katz and PFT Commenter, who it tries to keep, it's like his shtick to keep his name
right, a secret. Yeah.
But they were going to come do the show today, and we're trying to get him credentials, and I started to get resistance. Like, what the hell's going on? You can't let these guys come in and sit down and do our, and that's fine. It's their property. It's their show. But I just think that it's not a wise decision to resist two guys who have the most popular sports podcast right now for a website that's increasingly popular, and they're not going anywhere, and this only makes them more credible with their audience.
To
have
the NFL. Point, good for them, though, right? Good in the end, kind of good for Barstool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. Oh, I think it'd be great because it's not like they are going to rise or fall based upon access to the NFL. It's almost better for them to have the NFL saying they're unfit to be among the, you know, the very select group that can make it in.
Yeah, look around, right?
Mike Florio's with us here at Radio Row. Mike, I've been following PFT Commenter for a while. I'm just wondering at what point you said, I've got to hook up with this guy. I mean, he's been lampooning the commenters on your sites forever now.
He actually called me last year, 2015, in the summertime. He wanted to come to the house and interview me, and I was very, because I work out of my house, and I was very leery about it. And he's like, "Why are you so leery?" It's like, "Well, first of all, I don't know who you are. I don't even know your name. And my office is in my house. If I had a real office somewhere, you'd be welcome to come. But it's a big deal for me to say come to my house."
Yeah.
And so he came, and we had a good time. And yeah, I get what he's doing. I mean, and it's funny. He's funny. How can you know, my radio producer doesn't really like him just because he makes my radio producer nervous. and so I like that. I like to stoke that. And that's how it all came up that we were going to have him. I said last week, hey, let's have him on. And he's like, okay. But good for those guys. It's funny, and that's what it's supposed to be. You know, people take themselves too seriously. We're in this to help add to the enjoyment of sports, and that's what they do. They do it in their own way, and good for them. And I think it's dumb for the NFL, frankly. existed, because they're not going to go away just because the NFL is not allowing them to come in here and do interviews.
Sure.
Mike, we could go down the list of things that is dumb with the NFL, but since we're here covering the Super Bowl, let's talk a little bit about, I want to get into, we've covered with you all season what's going on with the Raiders and going to Las Vegas, and the news comes out last night about Sheldon Adelson pulling out. I'm not really sure exactly what he wanted in the deal, but they were not willing to give it up. What are the odds now? What's going to happen with this whole situation?
It's all been thrown into a state of flux. Now, for weeks I'd been told that Adelson's driving a hard bargain, and it ultimately could cause the Raiders to walk away. And so Adelson's the one who walked away, presumably before the Raiders could. The Raiders have Goldman Sachs lined up to be the private equity partner. They need the combination of $750 million in public money and the Raiders and the NFL's contribution and $650 million that was going to be thrown onto the pile by Adelson. Goldman Sachs will most likely step in, but they still need a partner who can provide the construction and stadium operation expertise that Adelson's people would have brought to the table. That's where they're going to be lacking. So I'm assuming they should be able to find somebody, but it really has created this instant sense that maybe this Las Vegas thing isn't going to happen soon, and maybe Las Vegas is going to become the new Los Angeles, where for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whenever some team in Jacksonville or Detroit, but whenever there's a team in a smaller market that maybe can't get the public money necessary to build a new stadium, and ownership is looking at it as a business proposition, which, you know, fans don't want to hear it, but it is. Okay, I'm going to have to build my own stadium. Am I going to build it in a smaller market, or am I going to go to a bigger market, or am I going to go to Las Vegas where there's $750 million just waiting to be spent? Now, will Las Vegas allow itself to be used indefinitely to be this new boogeyman for NFL relocation? Now that Los Angeles is filled, they need a new Los Angeles. It's going to be Las Vegas. But there's already some sense that maybe that's where this is all going to play out. And if it does, I really wonder how patient Las Vegas will be. On one hand, it gives Las Vegas legitimacy and credibility, and they're in the national conversation. But at some point, you got to do it. At some point, you got to move. And at what point do they say, we're pulling the plug on this $750 million. We're here until, you know, X. And then after that, forget about us.
You mentioned, Mike, the peripheral benefits of Sheldon Adelson being a part of this. And one of the biggest ones is his political clout in that state. And, I mean, if he doesn't want something to happen, it's probably not going to happen. We read his statement. Do you think that he's really out for sure? Is there a chance that this is kind of a public power play by him?
It's possible that what happened was he's trying to drive his hardest bargain as hard as possible, yeah. And I'm walking away. That's it. I'm gone. I mean, because he could come back anytime he wants.
Sure.
And Mark Davis has made it clear that he wants to move to Las Vegas. What do you do now? What do you do if you're Mark Davis? Do you continue to play in a dilapidated stadium for how many years? When do they actually put a real proposal together in Oakland? The thinking is that's just political cover. So when they do move, the politicians can say, we tried. Blame the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Don't blame us. So I don't, anything is possible at this point. And I guess all it takes is one side to blink and they can work it out. But I've heard all sorts of weird arguments about, you know, what Adelson has proposed, that the naming rights, because the Raiders only use the stadium 10 out of 365 days, they get 10 365ths of the naming rights revenue. You know, it's asinine.
Right.
So that kind of stuff, eventually, when you're talking about some stubborn people who are used to getting their way, I can see why that there would be a split, and maybe they can work it out. And you either want to do it or you don't. At some point, you got to ask yourself, do you want to do this deal? And if you do, people of goodwill typically should be able to come together and work out some sort of a compromise.
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio joining us on KHDK down in Houston, Radio Row. Mike, all year long, just to wrap up the Raiders thing, past few months, you've been pretty confident they're going to go to Vegas, and I've been with you, and I think most people have, confident that eventually, one way or the other, this move is going to happen. After the events of yesterday, where are you now?
I'm not sure, because I don't know what the agendas are. I don't know how it's going to play out.
Sure.
And I don't know whether or not we were all being set up to believe the Raiders were moving to Vegas only to have Vegas not get the Raiders, but Vegas become the new Los Angeles. I think there's a chance we've all been grifted and that this is all about setting up Las Vegas to be that new vacuum, because no one believes the team's going to move to London. So what's it, San Antonio?
Yeah.
We're not that far from San Antonio, so I better watch what I say. But no, I mean,
right.
I don't think that that's viable. I don't think the Cowboys and Texans would ever allow a team to be wedged between the two of them. So
San Diego, a viable option?
Well, yeah, but they don't have any. they don't have the cash there, the public cash. You know, that's the problem. And somebody told me not that long ago that the one thing that could derail the Raiders going to Las Vegas was San Diego waking up. And but what do you do? If you need to have a vote on any public money that you use, especially city money, it's just not going to work. Yeah. Well, that's one thing that we've learned. In the cities where you can manage to finagle public money without a vote, it can work. Minnesota, they did it without a vote. Las Vegas, they did it without a vote. St. Louis, they were ready to do it without a vote. When you need a vote, most electorates are going to say, no way in hell are we contributing taxpayer money to subsidize billionaires who could write the check and build their own stadiums.
I want to jump over to the other side of the bay because, you know, the 49ers are staying put, but they've made some hires. And, you know, I think the public opinion on John Lynch and his experience is pretty well known. But what are the types of things that you're hearing about that hire? And is there, I don't know, any positivity out there?
Well, not much, but you got to understand where a lot of it's coming from. It's coming from the traditional NFL machine where you pay your dues, you work your way up the ladder, and you're rewarded for success. And to have somebody barnstorm in who doesn't have the credentials, doesn't have the experience, didn't even know he was a candidate. How do you pull that off?
I was surprised.
I mean, I think as a matter, I said the other day, maybe I shouldn't have withdrawn my name. the idea that he just pops out of the blue and that he wanted secrecy and they maintained it. Well, why does he get that and no one else does?
Yeah.
Why everybody else has to suffer through the embarrassment of not getting the job, you deal with it. And whether it's because, and someone told me yesterday that his family didn't know about it, and he didn't want to uproot his family. He didn't even want to disrupt his family. He didn't want to disturb them. He didn't want them to be stressed out about what may happen until they knew he had the job. Then once he had the job, you have the tough conversation. We're going to move to San Francisco, and that's that. It just seems odd to me that he was able to pull that off.
Mike Florio, we appreciate you each and every week. Honest to goodness. Cage, you have one more thing?
No, go ahead. It's all right.
We appreciate you each and every week.
Go ahead.
We got Mark Schlereth right behind us, and I know I see. I'll tell you what, one thing that's great about being next to you in person is watching that phone just jam constantly. Your bill has got to be you got to have an unlimited plan.
I have unlimited plan.
You
this
have
is
to
exactly
have
how he is all have the time. No, this intrigues him because he's on his phone 24/7, so
but
yeah.
It can't be anything like
you have no but you don't know what I mean you have
true.
No idea what it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming it's
my lunch order.
He could be looking at Yelp reviews for where he wants to go have lunch, you know?
Right. We know there's a busy week for
Thanks.
You. Thanks so much right. for coming on each and every
Thanks
week.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Mike Florio joining us. And as we said, talk to him every week. Nice to get him in person. And what's great about Radio Row and what's great about the Super Bowl is you can go from a guy like Mike Florio to a guy who, I don't know, what has Mark Schlereth done in his life? Let's see. He's won three Super Bowls. That's
might be a thing.
That's okay. I guess. I mean, a little much. You know, one, two. Guy goes with three.
We'll save some for someone else. Maybe
he's just a badass.
I mean, isn't three enough?
He's just a badass.
I don't know. We can ask him. Is three enough, or would you have settled for more?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to give me more, I would certainly take more. There's no question about that. But yeah, I guess you know three is better than two, right?
In your illustrious both sporting and media career, do you have any idea, if I were to ask you the over-under, on how many times you've been asked to explain how you got your nickname Stink? A couple hundred?
Yeah, at least a couple hundred.
Couple hundred?
Yeah.
Just leave it as a mystery thing for the listener. That'd be kind of funny. We lead into it and then just leave
right,
it.
Right, just leave
we
it.
We just move on.
Just leave it hanging there like a nice stick.
Yeah, just be like, that's one hell of a story. You guys ought to hear it sometime. Moving on. Right? Wouldn't that be great? That would be great.
Don't even address it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You want me to tell it? Because there's really two versions to this. There's the truth, and then there's kind of the legend, if you will.
Sure.
All right. So the truth of the matter is I grew up in Alaska. Mm-hmm. My sister taught in an Eskimo village, and that village was on the Kuskokwim River called Akiachuk, Alaska. She's a school teacher.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so the first run of salmon during the season, the villagers would dip net the salmon, pull the salmon out, cut off the heads, bury them in a hole, then dig them up weeks later, fermented and rotten, and they would eat them. They call them stinkheads.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got the nickname as a rookie with the Washington Redskins as stinkheads because somebody had heard this stinkhead story.
That's the truth one?
That's the truth.
That's not the one that I
okay.
heard, so okay.
That's fascinating, because I watched a whole documentary on that, and it is pretty disgusting.
Right, I mean, you would, if you tried it, you would, one, you'd vomit, two, you'd probably die. You know, whatever you get from eating rotten fish heads, I have no idea. Amoebic dysentery or
can't
something.
Can't be good.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the truth of how I became Stinkhead, and then Stinkhead's much too long of a nickname.
Sure.
Then it became Stinky, and then it was just Stink, you know. Right. And then eventually I'll just be and then it'll be over. But the truth, or that's the truth.
That's the truth.
The legend is I used to piss my pants when I was playing all the time.
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, I was miserable. I mean, I had so many surgeries, and I was miserable playing. I was always miserable, right? Yeah. I never really enjoyed it. And one day, I think it was my second year in the league, we're playing the Browns, and it's a sultry night in the nation's capital, you know, preseason game, and it's fourth quarter, and I'm a young player, so I'm a starter. I started as a rookie.
Sure.
But I'm a young player, and so I am the swing guy, meaning if anybody gets hurt, I'm the guy that has to go in because I'm playing with Bostic and Grimmy and, you know, Raleigh McKenzie and Joe Jacoby. And so first guy up if anybody gets hurt. So it's like early fourth quarter, and I have got a bladder full, right? So we're all sitting on the bench together, and I'm like, hey, man, I got to go. And they're like, well, you know, the game's almost over. And go, no, I'm just going to go. And so they're like, what are you talking about? And I am emptying my bladder. You know, it's draining out of my pants, onto the bench,
sure.
off the bench.
Sure.
And they're like, dude, you are disgusting. And so I turn around and I look to the crowd and go, look, nobody in here. There's 50-some-odd thousand at RFK. Nobody knows I'm taking a leak right now. And I swear to you, I got done to the point where I was finished and I, like, shook it off. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't hold it, but you know how you get the – we call it piss shivers, right?
Right? Yes.
I gave a little piss shiver. Yes. And as soon as I got done with my, like, third piss shiver, they're like, stink, stink. So-and-so got hurt. So I have to jump up off the bench and, you know, and slosh over to the sideline. And so Stan Humphries is our backup quarterback. And he runs over because the backup center kid got hurt. And literally, they go, hey, give me some warm-up snaps. So I'm like, all right. Get down over the ball. Oh. The quarterback always walks up to you. If you ever watch it,
he'll tap
you.
It's an intimate moment.
He'll tap you. He doesn't put his hands under there, but he taps you on one cheek, like just to let you know. It's like a gentle caress. Like, I'm right over here.
I'm a fan of those.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. So you're just right over here. And he's like, got your cheek cupped, you know, and it's the outside of your cheek. So he's got a good cupping going on there. And he's like, it's going to be gentle. I'm going to be kind.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets in there, Blue 80, and he puts his hands in, sit up! And as soon as he gets his hands there, I snap the ball. And, I mean, it is just splash. And so he backs away. He's like, oh, my God, he's soaking wet with sweat. Somebody get him a towel. I'm like, hey, he's sweat. It's urine. And so then the nickname stuck
yes.
from that standpoint. And I was stink for that point forward.
That's such a great story.
Yeah. And that's that is actually a true story. But that's how it became kind of this legendary, and everybody thinks it's just because I used to urinate in my pants all the time. But
it's a combination of things,
right? Yeah, it's a fluid story. It just keeps
it's a fluid story.
Yeah, it just keeps
yeah.
kind
nice.
Of moving
yeah.
forward. Right.
You're not peeing right now, are you?
No, I have. Well, I have an I'm trying to get an endorsement deal with Depend, and then I'll never ever have to get up from a show again, which would be incredible when you think about it. I would be the guy.
Wow. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Follow that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just.
I win.
I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, it's not. I don't want to say it's common, but it's not crazy for guys to piss themselves on a football field, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. And I have actually. I mean,
it's not that different from sweat, and if you're just out there busting up in the trenches for 60
right.
minutes.
It's not like you normally either. It's not like you normally empty your whole bladder. You know, it's a little squirt here, a little squirt there. Just get you through the day.
Pace yourself.
Right. Yeah, you pace yourself. So, yeah, normally not. But, yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I mean,
it happens occasionally.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you're the guy with the nickname, right? But you hear all kinds of nasty stuff about things that go on in the trenches, and it's just kind of hell in there, like, from on all of the senses.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not a pleasant place for the most part.
It reminds me of our radio studio every morning from friggin' 6 to 9.
We lock the doors and windows on her.
Yeah, basically hotbox me.
Right,
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
The voice you hear is Mark Schlereth joining us from Radio Row in Houston. Mark, one thing that's come up today is the Players Association is planning on making maybe a little bit of a move on marijuana and lessening the NFL stance on that. It seems like a travesty that you've got all these drugs. You know, Sean Salisbury is a good friend of ours, and he'll talk all the time. I don't know if I've ever talked to an ex-football player that hasn't had at some point some sort of battle with painkillers. When you look at the marijuana policy, you look at the painkillers used in the NFL, do you see an imbalance there with their policy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing is – I mean, what would you rather have? A guy get done with a game and take some painkillers and you know, drink and become violent? Or some dude go on his couch and smoke a bowl and eat some Doritos?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
absolutely.
So for me, I'm like, it happens. It happens all the time. It's part of our society. Now, there are many states where it's legal. I live in Colorado. I'd like them to legalize it in all the states. So all the damn people that have moved into Colorado and are jamming the place up can go back home. Just go home, people. Weed is legal in your state. So that's how I feel about it. And I'm not a smoker. I mean, I just never have been. And I'm not really a drinker either. And certainly used plenty of painkillers over the course of my career, but never was addicted to it. But, you know, wasn't afraid of the needle. I mean, there are many, many times I shot myself up just to get through a game, and that's part of the deal. But I think it's become more mainstream. It's become something that has always been there. We've turned a blind eye to it. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
What do they used to tell you? Like 6 weeks before you went to camp or 2 months before you went to camp, hey, guys, we're going to test for weed. We're testing on this day. Make sure, you know, when the fireworks go off, you quit smoking so that you can pass the damn test, and then you can smoke as much as you want. So my thing is, it's always been kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge policy anyhow. Just quit testing for it.
Yeah.
You know what? You don't even have to tell the public. You don't even have to tell the players.
Right.
Yeah. Quit testing for it and let them move forward. It's just become a mainstream part of society, and I've just gotten to the point where the whole thing is kind of stupid anyhow. And if that's what gets guys through, and there are a lot of medical issues or a lot of medical, just benefits to CBDs and all the things that are going on right now, that I think the NFL just needs to lighten its stance and just say, hey, you know what, we move forward.
What's the likeliness that you have enough faith in the Players Association to be able to get this to completion and have it be in any kind of timely manner, though?
I think I know the Players Association is all for it.
Yeah.
I know the Players Association has approached the NFL many times. It's the NFL that's just like, we don't want to, I think there's so much kind of old school information about gateway drug and this, that, the other. And I think it just becomes
the gateway drug.
Right. You just get to the point, right? You just get to the point where you're like, hey, guys, it's probably a lot less damaging than alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And let's kind of move forward and figure this thing out. And there are some legitimate benefits. Obviously, you know, I've done some things with the folks that have created Charlotte's Web. And some of the benefits they've had with seizure, the kids with seizures, and some of the other things, and the science behind it is fairly overwhelming. So I just think it's time to actually educate ourselves and move forward. And again, I'm not a smoker. I just never have been and never will be. But I just think there's a lot of benefits there that they need to explore, and they need to do it legitimately, as opposed to looking at it like, oh, some stigma that's going to make us, you know, tarnish the view of the NFL. You've done plenty to tarnish your own view, right? By ignoring concussions and ignoring head trauma and doing all that stuff. So, you know what, maybe this is a step in the right direction to cure some of the ails that people look at you as this big corporation that really doesn't care about its people.
Right.
Mark, you do a great job on TV and radio, obviously 3-time Super Bowl champ. And we know you got a busy time this week. We appreciate you dropping by. And have fun, man.
Fun is not is
no.
That's fun is going to be easy for me.
Okay,
fun is easy.
Is it more fun doing this and not playing in a Super Bowl, or more fun this week when you're playing in a Super Bowl, even though you're working your balls off?
Probably. Well, you know, I don't go to a Super Bowl unless I'm going to win it.
Yeah.
So, drop the mic.
Right. So, no, probably more fun winning a championship with the guys. But this is, like, this is great. This is fun. And
this hurts a lot less, too,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it hurts a lot less. And at the end of the day, regardless of what I do, I walk away and there's no real consequences, you know? I mean, so there's not a game on the line right now. I can say something stupid.
Yeah.
And it's off to Pluto and I move on.
No ring, though. No. Just, is that
no,
a ring?
I didn't bring any rings.
Do you never bring them or do you sometimes?
Just think about it, Dave. There's a ton of criminals walking around,
no,
right?
You're going
to
see a lot of
rings off of people.
No, I don't. I just don't think about it, you know? It's just not part of my daily attire.
You. Are you a ring in the
You guys
drawer?
Are all standing up now. You're like, you're just trying to dominate.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm the only
Well, we know we've only got a couple
down.
Of seconds
we
here.
We want to see if we can make you piss your pants. Yeah.
Does anybody ever say Kenny Loggins when they
look at the time? Yes! All the time.
Right? Mark. Highway to the danger zone.
We got a picture on the wall of the studio with Kenny Loggins from 1973.
Right.
This guy with a little bit longer hair. It's
right.
Ridiculous.
I love it. I love it.
Appreciate your time, brother.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you.
Mark. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That is the one and only Mark Schlereth. I told you Radio Row is an absolute blast. And if you're experiencing it for the first time, that's the type of stuff you get to experience. Everybody's so laid back and fun and awesome. I'll bet you Mark's a ring in the drawer guy. I got three rings. I did it.
That Super Bowl against the Packers is still one of the best games ever.
But don't you feel like if you won a Super Bowl ring, you'd wear it on your face?
Yeah. I mean, I would get it pierced into my nose.
Yes.
Or my lower lip or something.
I would have, if I won three Super Bowl rings, I'd have earrings of them and then the ring. Just saying.
Well, thank God we don't have to worry about
it. By the way, we're all thinking it, but that's a man right there.
Yes.
That's a man.
You're damn right. A good-looking man, too, by the way. Well, ruggedly
That
handsome.
Was the implication.
Yeah, okay. We'll take a break. We will be right back. Continue from Radio Row on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. 840 Houston, Texas, Radio Row, Dave, Katie, and Nate, The Drive on location. Thanks to Mike Florio and Mark Schlereth, who we had in the last hour. It is, yeah, that's right, it's 840. Time to save money at the pump. Text Dave, D-A-V-E, to 83835 now to save 25 cents a gallon on your second fill. There's no catch there, guys. That's a pretty
no
big
catch.
Deal. No catch at all. Also, we'll take the 11th caller right now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, Twin Peaks, $50 gift certificate from our good friends over at Twin Peaks. Yeah, it's a big deal. They call it a sports lodge and a sports bar.
Wow.
We've been there. That's where we did our football
it's
draft.
It's true. It's very lodgy.
LeBron James, we talked about earlier, ripped Charles Barkley, saying he's the bad boy. You know, this after the loss to the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. He ripped him yesterday. He said that Charles Barkley is a hater. And why is he credible? Because he's on TV. He went on to say, I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. 14 years, never got in trouble. I respected the game. Print that. That was
what do you think is – they're kind of different ends of the same spectrum here. But when Mike Tomlin dumped all over Terry Bradshaw and said he was more of a Hollywood Henderson fan, right?
Yeah.
You remember that? Now, that was kind of like backhanded, sneaky, whatever. This is a little bit more overt. But, like, what do you think is the better trashing of a doofus on TV, Mike Tomlin or what LeBron just did?
I think LeBron eviscerated him, and I think the best part of it wasn't even what I said. I mean, he went through and talked about all these things that Charles did, reminded everybody of him spitting on people, throwing people through windows, talked about him joking with Michael Jordan during the finals. So he went after his character. He went after his ethics. He went after his morality. But the best thing he said was Charles Barkley wanted to retire a long time ago, and he can't.
Yeah.
He's stuck on that stage. And what that carries with that.
Chuck gets paid like $13 million a year.
Yeah, and he gambles
away
about $15 million. That's the point. That goes to Charles.
That was a pretty good shot.
I thought it was the best one. That goes to his gambling, drinking, and all the issues that he has. That's the worst-kept secret in the NBA. I thought LeBron throttled him, just throttled him.
And, I get it that that's Chuck's job, but you're going after the wrong guy, dude. Like, you cannot even hold LeBron James's jock. And you're a Hall of Famer. And you can't touch this guy, Charles. Sorry. You cannot touch LeBron James, just like he couldn't touch Michael.
I think everything he said is spot on. Like, obviously, LeBron came, you know, with both gloves on, and he knocked it out of the water. But the difference is that I'm okay with both sides, because I don't think anything that he said is wrong. And we talked about it earlier, and Dave and I almost fought. And so, yeah, there's nothing new about it. It's just, to me, like, from the way that I look at it and the way that my mind works, I think it's a sham that LeBron is complaining about the team that has the highest payroll in the league of not having enough people around him. Well, yeah. Take a pay cut. You have a $1 billion contract with Nike. You're making $30 million this year.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to complain about it and you don't like the talent around, quit. I don't think he's ever going to be satisfied with the talent around him until he's actually the one that is in there making the deals decisions.
He's not going to be. And you can just look at the fact that they won a title last year.
Yeah.
And he's still sitting here complaining.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's fine by me.
But,
it's,
I mean, to me, it speaks a little bit more to the fact that maybe he's freaking out a little bit by the fact that now the Warriors, who they beat last year, right, have Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And he's sitting here going like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Well, the difference is that, you know, David Griffin for you know, Cleveland paid everyone through the teeth, and they're paying the luxury tax, and they're the highest paid, you know, team in the league. But Golden State has superstars that are making a lot less money because they managed things well, and they worked out. They had a plan going into this free agency period last summer, and it freaking worked out for them. And every other team in the league knew Kevin Durant was going to be a free agent, and no one had the ability to make the offer that they did. So you can't be mad at the Warriors and LeBron
Who's
James,
mad at the Warriors,
LeBron
Katie?
James is just, I think, a little bit concerned about what's going to happen in June.
Well, and speaking of being mad, and that's the thing. I don't know why you and social media, there's a couple people on there that were playing, you know, Captain Save a Katie there for no reason when we were talking earlier about when I asked you how many rings you had. And I don't know why some people took that.
I think it was the tone in your voice.
The tone of my voice was, you know, you dropped the I played card. Which is fine. You're right. It's why you're on. One of the reasons you're on the show. You have professional basketball experience. It's no, I mean, it is. It's one of the things you bring to the show. Nobody else can. But when you
still
were,
can't beat me in a foot race, but that's okay.
Well, that's a whole different story. Stop.
Thank God. Thank God. This is about track and field.
But when
Nate, you're such a tool.
You know, and the whole thing's like, well, Dave, you didn't win a title. I'm like, yeah, no, I didn't ever want a title either. Jesus, here's the point I was trying to make. You were arguing against, or you were having issues with how Michael Jordan and LeBron James dealt with everything.
I didn't say anything about you brought Michael Jordan into this.
Well,
I'm saying
about
specifically,
LeBron.
I don't like the LeBron thing.
Right.
And you said, well, they can do whatever the hell they want. They have rings. But
right.
there's countless other dudes that have rings that I guarantee you 100% do not agree with the way that they're managing this.
Sure. They can feel that way. But the results are what matter, aren't they, for those guys? Say, by the way, one guy I didn't throw in there either, Kobe Bryant. He was a little bit like that too.
Kobe.
A little bit.
Kobe.
They're assassins, man.
From your favorite team. That's right.
They're assassins. Hey, listen, my favorite team, nothing. You'd say I can't stand the Lakers. They make my blood boil. Guess what? They have championships. A lot of them, and I'm fine with that. I'll take the a-hole every day of the week, the nice guy who doesn't win championship. We'll take a break, come back, finish this on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. And final segment of today's edition of The Drive live from Radio Row. We'll be here all week long. Still three more shows right here. And this thing just flies. It absolutely flies by as you look around. And things are really starting to pick up here. And it doesn't just pick up later in the day. It picks up later in the week, too. And by Friday, this place is just flat out going to be a circus, madhouse. And the amount of people that you'll see and that we'll try to bring to you will absolutely floor you. We'll want to thank Jiffy Lube as well for bringing us down here. It's always nice of them. LeBron James, we talked about in the last segment, just to finish that up. It looks like they're basically having like a garage sale thing, like a flea market or something. But they're buying. They're doing a group workout. The Cavaliers. Mario Chalmers and Kirk Heinrich, along with Lance Stevenson, are all coming in to work out for the Cavs tomorrow.
They do.
Wait, say those names again. I'm sorry.
Mario Chalmers,
Kirk Heinrich, and Lance Stevenson.
They do have one spot.
Lance?
Yes.
They do have one spot open on their roster.
Yes,
right,
Chris
now.
Anderson out for the year with a torn ACL. That created the roster spot. Chalmers coming off of a right Achilles tear that happened last March. So
Kirk Heinrich dealing with a serious case of advanced crackeritis.
Yes, there's that.
Make him the next Matthew Dellavedova, please.
One of the problems that LeBron had was not having a great backup point guard. Apparently he doesn't like the guy they have. And so, I don't know. Do you think Lance Stephenson could handle that?
I don't know. I mean, Chalmers
he's
seems
got more of an attitude than anything. That's what surprises me about it.
Chalmers seems to me, like, I mean, depending on his health, but he not only can he fill the point guard spot, but also has a history with LeBron, has won titles with LeBron in Miami. That would be the one that makes the most sense to me that I see fitting in the most. Lance Stephenson's, that's a wild card. But then again, they've managed. Do you really want a team with J.R. Smith and Lance Stephenson?
I don't think so.
That's the thing.
You know, I don't think you need that.
Kings tonight finish up the road trip right here. Coincidentally, it is kind of weird how that worked out. They are in Houston as well. They'll take on the Rockets this evening after losing to the 76ers yesterday. Losing in a game that they had a lead for, which has become kind of a common refrain. They either have a lead and win, or they have a lead and lose. But
they get that lead, though.
I would like to see a stat. I need to find it on how many games the Kings have had 10 point leads in and lost. And I'll bet you it's a lot.
There, I would imagine so. I mean, it's especially lately. You get in the first half. We were half-heartedly streaming that game last night. It was really hard to
on the plane.
Yeah. It was really kind of hard to get a decent flow with that.
It came in perfectly. You were just drunk.
I was asleep. All right, I was sleeping one off. There's a difference. But you can even kind of see in the first half, like, this can't last, right? And I don't know. Maybe that's just the pessimism of having rooted for this team for so long.
You mean experience?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Because, honestly, I didn't feel that way Saturday. Yeah, they were up. I was like, you know what? I feel like they're going to pull this one out.
The game had a different feel to it last night. And a lot of that has to do with the difference between when they jumped out to that lead and were playing so well in the first half. And then midway through the second quarter, everything that they were doing, they just stopped doing. Like, that's where it kind of started to feel like, oh, this could, if they don't correct this and do it when they come out of the locker room in the second half, they could be in trouble against this team. And they never corrected it. It kind of stayed the same way.
I mean, they were up 17-5, I think, to start out, something crazy like that.
They had a 16-point lead, I believe, is what it was.
Go get them, guys.
Lord. And on one hand, you go, well, they've shown that they're good enough to get ahead of a lot of these teams. But then they can't. And NBA games going to have ebbs and flows.
In the league, though. I mean, every team's going to go on a run at some time. It's just whether or not you're able to respond to it and string together a couple stops, which they couldn't do.
No. And I think one thing you saw yesterday, again, Willie Cauley-Stein had a phenomenal game. That he is really, really stepping
He's
up.
He's getting it.
Matt Barnes, actually, much to the chagrin of most of Kings Nation, had a decent game with some bonehead things at times, but Matt had a decent game.
Yeah, but what's his deal now?
Was it 2 years?
I mean, no, but I mean, no, not his. You know, okay, thanks.
What do you mean? What is his deal?
Well, I mean, did he turn himself in? Or they were talking about that.
Oh,
is he
with
here
that,
in Houston?
So yeah. DeMarcus Cousins was cleared of all charges. He will not be charged. And from what I understand, Matt Barnes will turn himself in to New York authorities at
and
some
that's
point.
Just
okay, and I just and I had that, heard that that was going to happen that, when they were in Philly yeah. because that's, you
no,
know.
No, they Matt's people were not saying when it was because they didn't want to deal with people showing up and all of that. Like, it's he goes, turns himself in, they give him literally, like, a ticket, and then it's done. And then he goes.
Well, speaking of done and going,
oh,
that's
so he's Matt Barnes is good now, okay.
That's our cue, as we can wrap up day one from Radio Row. Hopefully less walking tomorrow prior to the program.
Get your butt out of my face,
from
Goodyear.
Matt George back in the studio for Nate Goodyear and Katie Christensen. Mm-hmm. I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow bright and early, 6 a.m. Please do enjoy the rest of the day. Remember, you got the lowdown. They'll be taking interviews from here. And also, no Grant this afternoon, right? Because of
no Grant this afternoon. You're right.
No Grant this afternoon. All right, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on KHDK.